Real Business Owners.
What's up, Real Business Owners? Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Business Owners Podcast. You guys, today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the actual blueprint to success, okay? The ultimate blueprint to success. You see, I talk to a lot of people about business, and a lot of people, they want success, but they're not executing. And it got me thinking about a lot of weird things that have happened over the years to us in business and how we actually succeeded in many areas. You know, as you guys know from previous episodes, we've had a lot of failures too, and that's part of the formula to success. We've had so many weird things happen when we were young in business and we were ignorant. The first thing that I want to talk to you guys about is we had no leads, okay? I mean, success or sales or whatever, it always revolves around getting leads into your business so you can actually make the sales. We had no leads. I was actually still working a job. As you guys know from previous episodes, we started in the basement of my home. Okay, it was completely unfinished. We were hanging carpets up on the sidewalls. We were doing all this crazy stuff to create our little workstations. And we had no leads, but I actually convinced a guy. He's still here to this day. He's actually one of our partners. But I convinced a guy to come and work for me and be my very first sales guy. So I had no business. I had no place to operate. I had no leads, but I had a guy that was seeing the same vision that I was seeing that was willing to come work with me and Jeremy. You see, me and Jeremy, we created a course, mainly Jeremy, because this is something that he had studied for a couple different years, created a course on how to day trade in the foreign currency market. And we knew we had something we could teach people to help them make more money, but we didn't know where to start. Literally bought leads off of the internet. Like, literally, I went to like a website called Sales Genie and I bought leads just to come home and start calling. So I'd work all day long. I'd call my leads at work. I was a sales guy for a tax and accounting firm. I'd come home and I'd start calling leads again. And it was pretty crazy, man. Like 3 weeks into calling garbage leads, we finally made our first sale. It was a pretty incredible thing, man. We knew if we could do it one time, we could do it over and over again. And as we got better in business and we got better at converting these leads we were buying on the internet for like 50 cents a lead, we ended up making more connections and we ended up progressing into actually getting more leads of people that were putting their information that were more qualified out there on the internet that actually wanted to make money from home. And so it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool to start seeing things work. But we had no experience in business at all. And flat out, you guys, after we started finding out how to convert some leads, we decided to hire a couple more sales guys. I couldn't keep bringing them to my home in the basement of our home where all this carpet was hung up and there were still 2x4s exposed and all that. So we ended up having to get a lease. Okay, so we started making some sales. We started making sales every week and then we decided to get a lease. We got into this lease, you guys, and we didn't know what we were doing. It's the first lease we ever signed, and we put a little money down from what we'd accumulated in our revenue. We're excited. We started moving into this lease. We did no research. We did no due diligence at all, and we did not know what we were doing. Not that we got into a bad lease. We just didn't know what we were getting into. You know, we didn't have very good internet. There was no internet ran to the building, so it actually had to get like wireless internet put on the building for us to operate our business, which wasn't very stable. We locked ourselves into a lease where there wasn't very great terms to get out of that lease. And later that caused some problems down the road because we outgrew it. It was just a very small, like 800 square foot office that we were cramming a few guys into. And then we ended up growing from there. But we were stuck in there until we could get into a better lease. But we didn't let it hold us back. You know, we made and improvised, you know, we had cubicles in different corners and, you know, different phones hooked into, which were tied into the internet, which wasn't the greatest as well. It was just crazy, man. But you know, it was such a cool experience as well. But we got into that bad lease and there were some things we didn't understand in it that, you know, we couldn't get out of the lease. And there was other things too, like extra costs we didn't realize, you know, with the triple net. So we didn't know what we were doing, but we did it anyway. You know, we jumped in, we signed this lease and we continued to grow our business. Well, a few months after getting into this lease, we ended up getting one of our merchant accounts frozen, which was another thing we didn't know how to do at all. I mean, we ended up calling and I think doing some Google ads as far as guys we started searching some Google ads of guys that were in the merchant space. We ended up getting a merchant account through a company called First Data, and they weren't very familiar with our business. And honestly, we jumped through all the hoops to get approved to be able to accept credit cards for our course that we were selling out there on how to day trade in this foreign currency market. And We got it up and running, and after operating for several months in my basement of my home and then operating a few months in our first lease, they froze our account. We didn't know that the merchant account had limits, kind of like a credit card limit. They have processing limits, okay? And so as we grew and we started growing past, I guess, their comfort level, they ended up freezing our account. Now, they don't call you and they don't email you or they don't send you something in the mail. They just tie up your funds and wait for you. And they continue to collect those funds too. So if you're processing sales and you don't know that that money's not dropping in your bank account for a few days, it's taking a few days longer, maybe a week or two longer, you know, then you find out real quick, like, hey, something's not here. You know, money's not coming in and payroll's not going to be able to be covered. You start figuring out real quick that the money ain't coming in. So we start tracing it back and come to find out, we call the merchant high risk department and they say, yeah, we froze your account because you guys were processing deals that were bigger than you were underwritten for and you were over your limit. You know, this was very straining on our business because they can keep this money for months and months and months. So now we're jumping through hoops to get another merchant account set up so we can start getting funds released on our new sales, but then we're jumping through the hoops of getting all our funds cleared up with this other merchant account in order to get that money back as well. And we had to jump through, show them contracts. We had the clients, they actually called our clients to validate the program that we were teaching them. It was crazy. It was a very interesting thing. It's just something, another thing that we did not know we were getting ourselves into. You know, we're just these guys, we're just young hustlers, we're salesmen, you know, we're course creators, and we're just getting out and offering our product to people and making sales with no knowledge of actually how to run a business. After we outgrew that office, you guys, we ended up getting a new office, okay? And this was a much bigger office. We'd expanded. I think we had like 3 teams of sales guys. Guys were wanting to come work for us. We had great things going. We got things cleaned up with the merchant accounts. We got more merchant accounts and things cleaned up with the previous merchant accounts. And we were off and running, able to do a lot more business. But something that happened to us is we got audited by the Workman's Compensation Fund. This was interesting because all of our sales guys, we were just paying them as 1099 salesmen. Well, after a couple years in business, they caught wind that we were, you know, or they saw somehow that we were paying our guys as 1099 contractors, and they decided they want to come check things out. They audited us, and we didn't know what we were doing. We were just paying sales guys their commissions as independent contractors, and we viewed them as independent contractors. Well, the crazy thing about this is there's a lot of rules that we didn't know, okay, because we're ignorant. You know, we're in business, we don't know what we're doing, and there's things that we don't know until we go through them. And Workman's Compensation Fund comes in and they say, hey, well, what's the schedule? We give them the schedule of what our guys are supposed to be there and when they're supposed to be calling leads. And like, okay, and what's their cost as far as the leads? Do you sell leads to them or do they work in your cubicle? Do they pay booth rent? How does this work? And as we break it down for them, they basically tell us, like, listen, you guys do not have independent contractors. These are salesmen, but they should be W-2 employees. They're employees. They're agents of your company, but they're not independent. So they slapped us with some fines. They went back a little bit. They cut us some slack because they want to keep you in business. They want to get you, you know, paying them the revenue that you're supposed to be paying them. So they will work with you to a certain point. But at the same time, you know, we had to go back and pay some fines and pay a couple years back on actual payroll taxes for the Workman's Compensation Fund in order to stay in business. Not long after that audit came a personal property tax audit, okay? Something we also didn't know. You guys, a personal property tax audit is not personal property taxes as far as taxes on the actual building, okay? That would be the guy that owned the building that we were leasing from for him to pay his property taxes. Personal property taxes is property taxes on your property inside the building that you use to operate your business. We had no idea we're supposed to pay taxes on the trash can, this desk, this laptop, this phone, this pen. Every little thing in here they view as personal property that you use to operate your business. Every single chair, everything. Okay, so we ended up having to go back and pay taxes on every little piece of property that we use to operate our business as well. So all these things keep coming to us, man, like out of left field. And it really felt like some black eyes that we were taking in business, you know, but we had things up and running. We had revenue coming in. And even though it was digging in deep to our profits, you know, we had to make adjustments to keep on running. Another thing that happened, you guys, before I move on is we actually got sued 2 times by the same guy. It's literally one of my, he was a competitor. guy that I actually used to work for, a guy I looked up to a lot, and I admired him in business. He called me up one day and he said, listen, man, I don't like what you're doing, because I ended up opening up a business that was similar to his. I didn't view it as like competing or anything like that, because I wasn't trying to go after his channel of business. I mean, it's a tax and accounting firm. There's plenty of business to go around, right? A lot of different business owners out there and taxpayers out there that can use tax and accounting services. But he looked at it as a direct threat and direct competition. So he said, you know what? I'm going to sue you. Why? Because I have $200,000 to lose and you don't. You're too young in business. I'm going to put you under. I mean, I guess I appreciate the fair warning, but at the end of the day, you guys, I had to learn how to fight legally. Something I'd never been through before. Had to hire attorneys. Had to jump through all the hoops. Had to pay a lot of money. Overall, we won and we were able to stay in business. And then he opened up another lawsuit. And this time he sued us in the state of New York. I don't know how to fight a lawsuit in New York. So I had to contact my attorney. Recommended me to a new attorney out in New York. Turned into another year-long battle, which cost thousands and thousands of dollars. I guarantee you, he spent well over his $200,000 that he promised he was going to, you know, spend in order to sue us and put us under. But all said and done, we came out ahead, came out on top. Nobody won, except the attorneys. But we were able to stay in business, able to continue chugging along. You see, we've had multiple business ventures, you guys, and we still have multiple business ventures. And these events, as I said, are like a black eye every time they happen. And they're things that are going to come up. And they're always going to happen. There's always just going to be something trying to derail you from really getting to the other side of success. But it's okay. We've got to view these as learning experiences. We've got to view these as opportunities to learn and grow and move on. Basically, you guys, the whole point of this podcast is I want you to understand that there is no perfect blueprint to success. The secret to getting ahead is getting started. You can write out the most perfect business plan and you can follow it to a T, and I can promise you it's not going to go down that way. You will get derailed from your business plan. Things are going to come up. Things are going to happen. You're going to have to jump through hoops that you didn't realize you're going to have to jump through. You're going to make mistakes. And you're going to have learning lessons. Business plans never go as planned. I was at an event not too long ago. I saw a sign up on the sidewall of this big event. There's hundreds of people there. It's quite a big one. And it said, build your plane as you fly it. I thought that was pretty good, actually. I thought that was very relatable to business, because we don't know what we're doing. But once we get this thing in the air, it's not going to stay in the air unless we keep working on it. But we're never going to get off the ground unless we actually get started. And that's basically what I wanted to share with you guys. So you can waste your time building a business plan. And I'm not going to say it's a waste of time. I mean, it's great to get things down on paper and visualize success and maybe build your vision board or what success looks like and put some things in place. But nothing's going to happen till you put it in motion. Again, success does not happen by accident. It happens through execution. So that is my message for you guys today. And I hope you get something out of that. And as always, you guys, if you get one thing out of this podcast, out of this episode, I ask you guys to give us a share, give us a like, give us a review, spread the word. We're on a mission. Trevor and I are on a mission at Real Business Owners to help as many business owners as possible to not go through as many learning experiences that we had to go through, but to also be here to help people execute and get to the other side of success. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoy this episode. And as always, we appreciate you guys in this community. Take care. Good luck. And let's crush the day.